Welcome back to Underdog Stuff. You know what we do here every week? We get into underdog stuff. Really, just trying to figure out how as underdogs we keep our swagger in today's society and culture. Now it's time for the underdog spotlight. And we have with us Minda Hart. She is an adjunct assistant professor of public service of NYU's Robert F. Wagner Graduate School of Public Service. Say that one more time.
Hey.
I'm mad at you. She is the founder of the Memo LLC, a career development company for women of color. In 2016, she was nominated as a changemaker at the White House State of Women Summit. And this year, she was named one of 25 emerging innovators by American Express. And I'm not done yet. But wait, there's more. Minda, just like Michelle Obama debuted her book, Becoming, in fall of 2018, well, Minda Hart is going to be debuting her book, The Memo, and it'll be coming out in the fall of 2019 with the Hatchet Book Group. Minda Hart, thank you for joining Underdog Stuff.
Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you here. Well, you know, we're going to talk about a bunch of things on glass cliffs, black ceilings, glass ceilings, telling your story. And I think that you are perfect to have that discussion. But before we jump into it, I like to ask all guests who come on, when I say the word underdog, what comes to mind for you?
Wow. Well, thanks for having me, first and foremost. And when you say the word underdog, I think about when I entered this world. I was a premature 3-pound baby, and I'm still here, still fighting for the seat, securing my seat. And being an underdog is the continuous fight and making sure that you just keep pushing. And so I was thinking about the show this morning, and I thought, you know what, Minda, you were 3 pounds, you fit in the hand of the nurses in the ward, and you are still fighting. And so that's what underdog, you know, just that continuous fight, that spirit of fight inside of you.
I love that. And the world is happy that you're here with us.
Me too. Praise God.
Hey, yes, indeed. And I love the idea of that you're a fighter. Mm-hmm. And the cool thing is, you don't just fight for yourself. You don't just fight for your family, but you fight for the community,
yes,
specifically women of color. Now, with that, though, I looked up your bio and it's all these wonderful things, but I went to your IG. And your IG, I think that's where people, they kind of, you got to say what you do and you got to say it in like a few words on your bio. And it says, career revolutionary for women of color at work. I love that.
Thank you.
But what I'm curious about is, what was that moment personally for you that sparked this mission of yours to go out and fight for women of color in the workplace?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because we all have our kind of like come to Jesus moments, or many of us do, right? If we're lucky enough to figure out what our purpose is in this world. And mine happened around the Trayvon Martin verdict. And I was just sick when all of that came down, just like, you know, the rest of the world, majority anyway. And I thought, you know what, I can't quit my job. I can't go to the various locations in March and those sorts of things. But what can I do with what God has given me and my skill set? And so I was working working in corporate America, nonprofits. And so I thought, what can I do? What's the skill set that I have that can help the next generation? And I thought, you know what, I can use my advocacy for helping other women of color move forward in the workplace. And so that's how I said, you know, what can I do? And I thought about Shirley Chisholm. If they don't give you a seat at the table, bring a folding chair. And then I also thought about Drake. Did they not get the memo? And I'm like, you know what? Let's make this happen. Let's make sure that the world gets the memo. We belong at the table.
I love it. Now, what about Solange, though?
Yes. And of course, that just solidifies it, right? Whenever I'm like feeling some kind of way, I just turn on Solange and I'm like, yes.
Yeah, because I always think now when I hear this, I think of seat at the table. Obviously, yeah. Shout out to Solange. With that, one of the ways that you bring your purpose to life is an initiative called the Women of Color Equity Initiative. If you could just tell folks a little bit about what is that? How does your mission come to life, at least in one way, through that?
Right. So the memo I run with my co-founder, Lauren, and we have what we call, you know, the Memo, the career platform that helps women of color help them prepare for their seat at the table. And as we know, women of color are out there doing their thing. We've been leaning in. And so my thing is, if you look at the reports that Forbes and McKinsey and all these different articles are coming out with, they show that women of color lack executive roles or mid-management or even entry-level positions. And I said, you know what, how can I catalyze the work that we're doing at the Memo and marry access and opportunity within the workplace and change the numbers that keep being reported out? We're not lagging behind because of anything that we're not doing. And so I'm like, if you have the access to the opportunity, then maybe we can change these numbers. And so the Women of Color Equity Initiative is me going to companies and saying, hey, you say you want women of color, you say you cannot find them. Well, I have this, you know, database full of women. Let's put them in these positions. But not only that, let's make it equitable. Let them have opportunities once they get here. It's not enough just to have your seat at the table, but what's happening once they get in the door. And so making it equitable. And that's why I chose to call it the Equity Initiative, because once you get in the door, you deserve to be happy and thriving, not just surviving. And so that's what that's about.
I love that, because I've seen it. For folks who may not know, and I don't talk about it as often, but I spent 16 years in corporate America before I started doing all this underdog stuff. And I've seen it firsthand. And just being employed or hired and recruited isn't enough.
No.
What about retention and what about advancement and things like that? And you mentioned stats. I saw that you reported that about 11% of women of color hold managerial positions, but less than 8% hold senior management roles. Those numbers aren't good.
They are not good, especially when you think about, well, let's take African-American women, for example. They say that we make up about 14% of the population. That's not even reflective in most companies. Took it a step further and looked at Fortune 500 companies and who's at the helm, right? We have no African-American women leading any Fortune 500 companies, and we have only ever had one. So there's an issue, and it's not because we're not leaning in, it's because companies are not leaning into us.
Yeah, and I believe, was it Ursula from—
From Xerox.
From Xerox, and she left, I believe, two years ago, and yeah, we haven't had someone since. Whew. So earlier we were talking about glass cliffs, which, you know, it's a gift and a curse, right? Awesome that someone has made it to the CEO position, and then unfortunately that maybe their time there may be short.
Right.
But before you can even get to the glass cliff, you got to break through a glass ceiling. And before you can get there, you got to get started. For the underdogs out there, especially the women of color who are just getting started in their come up in their professional career, what's at least one thing that you've learned from the work you do that would help them start to prepare for that C-suite seat at the table?
Yeah, you know, I'm going to give you two quick things. And one is more of a tangible thing, and that's build out your network, because we talked about access to opportunities. If you don't have a network that you can tap into, so go to the meetup groups, go to the professional development trainings, make sure that you get out there and that you don't just go, but you meet people. Give out your business card, exchange LinkedIn, make sure that people get to know you and articulate what it is you want to do in the world. So when they have an opportunity, they think of you. But then the next thing is, we have to see ourselves at the table before we're even there. So we can't tell ourselves no before we get there. So just because there's no more Ursulas at the table at the moment doesn't mean that you're not the next one. So see yourself, start preparing. What do CEOs do now? If you're an admin assistant, start positioning yourself to, if you were working as the CEO, what do you need to equip yourself with? So is that certain training, certain certifications? Start doing it now so that they give you no reason to say no when it's time to apply for that.
No, I love that. It's a tangible one, and mindset is important, right? Because all things are created twice.
Yes.
First in our head and then in reality. Just one follow-up on that. Where do you go to get that confidence at?
It's a journey, man.
But, I'm like, can I go buy that somewhere this afternoon?
Well, you know, the late Audre Lorde, she said, I am deliberate and afraid of nothing. And I have to continuously remind myself that each and every day, every intention, everything that I'm deliberate about, yes, I might be afraid, but I can't own that, you know, or as they say, oh, the angry Black woman syndrome. No, that's their narrative. That's not my narrative. So they may not have us in the room now, but I'm preparing, I'm going, I'm getting that seed. And so I have to keep reminding myself. So once you keep telling yourself that self-talk, it goes a long way. So just start today, start right now. You are more than enough.
I love it. And to the point about the angry Black woman thing. And I remember sometimes my mom coming home and talking about how she was being misperceived. Guess what? Sometimes there's stuff to be angry about.
Well, Solange said that. We got a lot to be mad about.
Come on now. Some of those numbers we talked about earlier. Now, that's for people who are at the start of their career. Right. What about a woman of color, an underdog out there who is now, you know, a decade in or so? Maybe she's right on that point of she's going to either have to step out and leave, or she's going to cross the finish line. Well, not finish line, but get to that senior management position to the C-suite. What's one thing that she should know to really get to that next level?
You know, oftentimes, lately I've had a lot of women reach out to me, women of color, but also white women, talking about ageism and how, you know, I'm 60 years old and I still have a lot of fight left in me. What am I going to do? And I said, you know, you keep pushing, don't let people force you out. But sometimes we have to also decide that, is this the table for us, right? Mm-hmm. We work so hard for this particular company and they're never going to give us what we want. So we have to be introspective and say, you know what, am I going to get what I need? You know, like Maslow's hierarchy of needs, am I going to get what I need at this particular place? And if not, then you got to chuck up the deuces and go somewhere else. But also before you leave, make sure you articulate to the powers that be what it is you want, because sometimes we think, Gregory, that our managers have these magic balls, right? That they know exactly what we want out of our position. And if you haven't articulated that, then make sure they know that you want to move up. They might just think, oh, Susie, she loves that role. You know, she never wants to leave, but you do. And so tell them what you want, articulate your need. And if they don't provide you a roadmap, then you got to find the right space for you.
No, I love that. And you brought up management. And I do want to touch on management just for a hot second, though, because one of the things every week I do a show from an underdog's perspective, and there's all these things that I have to do, you got to do. I tell the underdogs, we got to do this, we got to be smarter, we got to be strategic, we got to love ourselves, we got to do all this stuff. And then it's like, well, what do the other people have to do? And so for a minute, especially for the underdog advocates listening right now, or folks who aren't a person of color, and for folks who might be in a position to make a difference in these workplaces, what's something they gotta do?
Hey, I'm glad you brought it up, because we're doing everything we can on our end, but it takes two, right, to make a thing go right.
Yes, indeed. So... it takes two to make a we've covered Solange, Drake.
Yes, yes.
And now Rob Bass. I love it.
So if you are in a position of power, look around the room, see who is not being represented at the table. And I know that if you look out from your ivory tower, there are people that you could give opportunities to. And that's the difference between having the access and not. So, you know, if it's someone underrepresented and they can do the job and they can do it well, why not take a chance on them? Somebody took a chance on you. So don't go with the safe choice or what they told you to do. Go out there and give people opportunities to succeed, because again, we were all in that position at one point, and somebody gave us that leg up, right? So do that for somebody else.
Yeah. I say it again.
Hey, when you secure your seat, it's up to you to help other people get in the room too.
Come on now. I could just play that on loop a couple times. With that, though, one of the hot topics going on in the world right now is the fact, especially in New York City area, is that Michelle Obama was in the area.
I know. I'm still hurt that I didn't get
to. I thought the sounds like Minda, like, why weren't you there?
I was traveling and all this other stuff, and I'm just sad that I wasn't there, but I was there in spirit.
Hey, and for folks don't know, which I'm sure you know because you listen to the show Underdogs, I know you know this, but Michelle Obama released her book November 13th called Becoming, and it's been a big hit, and now she's out on tour. And so she dropped a book, and earlier in the show I asked folks, the one way we could all be like Michelle Obama, which is hard to do, but we could all write a book and tell our story.
Yes.
And I asked Underdogs out there what would be the name of their debut book. Mine would be The Swagger Back Commandments.
Oh, I like that.
And that's something I get to work on for 2019. And then that brings me to you. Michelle Obama drops fall of 2018, already dropped. And word on the street is you're going to be dropping a book in fall of 2019. Is that true?
That is true. That is true.
What's the name of your book going to be about? And if you had to tell people in like a one sentence, one liner, so they can get it, what's it about?
So the book is called The Memo, Securing Our Seat at the Table. And it's just about what it's like for women of color to lean in. So Sheryl Sandberg had her version and I have mine.
Ooh. Okay. So now I want to know a little bit more, because now, you know, you name dropping about Sheryl Sandberg is cool and all. And you know, and then there's an even deeper level of relatability that you might bring from your perspective.
Right. So to be fair, Sheryl Sandberg wrote this highly successful book about women in the workplace, but she wrote from a perspective of a white woman. And so I kind of flip it on its head and say, well, women of color, we and working class white women, we've been leaning in, and that those tips are not necessarily helpful for us. And so here's what it's like when we lean in, and we can't lean in without talking about race. And so I tackle that.
I love it. You know, I was talking to you earlier before we got on air that folks who are talented, and you are super talented, end up being able to do like everything. You got the talent skill. So you are writing this book. You have a company. You have this initiative that's going, and you also have a podcast. So normally when I ask this question, I don't even know what people are going to say, but what are some of the projects that you have going on? And then how can people work with you?
Yeah, so if you go to The Memo, and if you're a woman of color and you need extra support, resources, work with us. I mean, we're there for you. So you might feel isolated being the only one in the workplace, but you don't have to feel that way going forward. So we're there to help. But right now, the Women of Color Equity Initiative is truly important to me, because it actually marries the skill set that many women of color out there already have, and they just need the opportunity to move forward. And so if you're a woman of color, you're looking for employment to push yourself forward, then join the initiative, add your name to the database. But if you're a company and you want more women of color, listen, we're out here, and let's make it happen.
I love that. And for folks who want more Menda Hearts, and they should want more Menda Hearts.
I hope so.
Who is talking about CEOs, is a CEO and works, obviously, founder of The Memo, and also out here, you know, creating your own table and then also making sure folks have access to theirs. How can people follow you and get more Menda Hearts in their life?
Yes, MendaHearts.com. If you go there, you can link to everything I'm doing. I'm most active on Twitter at Menda Hearts. So, you know, we're in this game together. It's about creating seats for other people, and that's what I'm here to do.
Cool. Menda Hearts, I want to thank you for coming through and talking underdog stuff and talking how women of color can have a seat at the table, break these glass ceilings, and then also avoid this glass
cliff. Thank you, Gregory.
With that, as always, I leave you with my favorite quote. Underdogs, can't nobody do it like you do it. Nobody. Peace.